the bump and run, the Bristol move.
That's aggressive, but it's that's good. Good heart racing.
Oh!
He puts him out of the groove there.
Oh, man!
Will he get the bumper? Yes, he does. Here comes Logano. Logano on the inside. A drag race. They're sideways. And it's going to be Logano getting the win.
The back end of the 18 kick out.
Yeah, he got into it right there.
Moved him out of the way.
It's almost too early to be racing that hard for the lead, wasn't it?
Never too early to be racing for the lead.
At Bristol.
Man, this is one of the biggest wins of my career.
It's the bump and run,
baby!
Oh, yeah. Welcome to the Bump and Run podcast. I'm your host, Michael D. White, joined by my two best friends, Matt the Statman Riley and Eric Daytona Ron. Hope you guys had a great weekend. Hope you guys had yourselves a Kyle Larson type of weekend. He was the big winner out in Vegas, getting himself locked in to the championship race, the round of four. But first, fellas, make sure you like, share, subscribe, do all that stuff. Podcast available every Tuesday night, Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and more, and every Tuesday on YouTube as well. Things go live right around 11 o'clock or so. So late at night, ready for your Wednesday morning. But fellas, how was your weekend? Eric was just telling us stories of his camping adventure off air. Eric, how'd you fare camping this weekend with our buddy Luke and Jay?
Oh, it was a great time. You know, it's this time of the year. There's a road up here, Route 6, where it's one road goes west. And the fall foliage is starting to come in here in our area. So we all hopped into the old van and headed west for the weekend. And went camping, check out some fall foliage. We went out to the PA Grand Canyon. It happened to be completely filled with fog, and you could not see a thing that morning. So we still managed to go there. I mean, we've been there before, but it's just kind of like the destination where we get to and kind of go to the other spots. But no, it was a good time, good getaway. And, you know, it rained all day Saturday, but when you're with two good buddies, you make the best of it. And we had ourselves a good time despite the bad weather.
How many times have the three of us been at racetracks where it's been rain or fog or something? You just make the best of it, man.
Oh yeah, we're good buddies, doing that.
Good buddies, good food, good beer, and you'll be all right.
Oh yeah. How about you, Matt? Well, how did you spend the rainy weekend here in Pennsylvania?
It was rainy, man. I you know, didn't go hunting because it was rainy. Just, you know, did some running around, watched a lot of sports like usual, and yeah, got my tree stand ready for so I got my tree stand ready because I want to go hunting this upcoming Saturday. But like anyone from outside the area, like literally, I think it's three of the past four Saturdays it's been raining here. Guess what the weather is supposed to be like on Saturday?
Another rain. Oh yeah,
Eric knows, he hunts. Yep. It's like, and now we're getting into like late October. Like we're starting to get into like the peak time to hunt because it's the rut. And yeah, I haven't gotten out once yet, and it sucks, you know, with work, family life, you know, the weather, nothing seems to be lining up good, but I think rain or shine, I'm going to try to get out Saturday. I have to.
Well, Matt, the weather is going to be nice on Friday. Maybe you should call the boss. You're starting to sound a little congested over through the microphone.
Raffy, so, yeah. Really raffy.
I've got days to use. So yeah, it doesn't sound like a bad idea.
Speaking of, I just had a cough off air. Sorry. I might be getting a little tickle in the throat.
That happened quick.
That did happen quick.
Karma caught you quick.
Well, you want to wait? You spread your germs through the video camera there, and it got over to my side really fast. I had a pretty good weekend too. I spent a Saturday night with it was interesting. It was the Luzerne County Arts and Entertainment Hall of Fame. My mother's boyfriend had a table. So me and Bree went to that, and it was really interesting. A lot of great local artists through the years. Actor Jack Palance was inducted. He's from City Slickers. I don't know. There's a whole bunch of stuff, bands and everything, but it was a really interesting night.
You just made that name up, didn't you?
Look him up, Jack Palance. He was in Batman. Did you ever see the 1989 Michael Keaton Batman? Before the Joker becomes the Joker, Jack Nicholson's in this guy's office and he goes, "Jack, you're my number one guy." That's Jack Palance. And he's from Luzerne County originally. So he was in.
Oh, I've seen this guy before.
He's in his shit.
I'll tell you what, he has a booze nose.
Oh, he's from Luzerne County, yeah. Pennsylvania. Yeah.
Everybody from Luzerne County has a booze nose.
That's what I'm saying.
No one has any idea what we're talking about right now.
If you're watching on YouTube, Matt's holding him up on the camera. That's Jack.
There's 3,000 versions of this guy living in our neighborhoods right now.
Absolutely. And that brings me to my next point. It was an open bar, and I had a great time enjoying hearing all the stories.
I don't know if I've ever been to an event in the Wyoming Valley that wasn't an open bar.
I
appreciate the shit out of it. Don't get me wrong.
I'm pretty sure I was at a cash bar wedding once, and I won't go. I don't even know why I went in the first place.
If
I was
either
very
of
mad
you guys ever decide to get married and you decide to have a cash bar, I'm just letting you know now on the front end, not coming. Yeah,
no way, dude. Yeah,
Maddie
no,
doesn't do dry weddings.
No, I mean
or cash weddings.
Ugh, rough. anyways, that was my
weekend. Reflected in the gift.
Lack of gift. Oh, I spent all my money at the bar. Sorry, I would have given you something more. anyways, we have a race weekend to talk about in Vegas. But first, we got some NASCAR news. Not a whole lot of stories. One I did think was pretty interesting. Sheldon Creed not returning to RCR in 2024 in the Xfinity Series. And according to his interview, it sounds like it was kind of his decision. But he also said like 2 months ago, I thought it was going to be at RCR. So I'm not exactly sure what he's doing. What do you think about Sheldon Creed losing that two ride?
I mean, he's an immense talent. Like, I think he'll land on his feet somewhere.
I mean, he's a truck champion, but he still hasn't won, you know?
What's up?
He's a truck champion, but he still hasn't won in the Xfinity Series. I don't know. True.
Here's the other thing, too, is it's late in the season. You know, a lot of the seats are getting filled already. So, like, what? It's a good question. What is it? I think, JGR might have a seat open in Xfinity?
I think so. I think they only have one driver signed right now, right?
So, yeah. I mean, there you go.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I thought, to me,
I agree with you, Whitey, in a way where it's like, what have you done lately kind of thing? And you know, with certain, well, I guess that's Cup. I'm trying to think of here with certain drivers and what are they doing? And for rides, it's kind of like, oh, it's a new car. Kind of let you give them the benefit of the doubt. You give them a year and then, you know, you kind of want to see, but I mean, down there in the Xfinity, you can't really use that as kind of an excuse. So, I mean, you know, the RCR down there, I mean, he contends for the wins, but it seems like it's more, he stubs his toe all the time and does something to kind of prevent. I mean, I don't know. Every time I watch Xfinity, it seems like he's always getting caught up in something or he's causing something. So, I mean, maybe this is, we talked about it a lot too, a wake up call for certain drivers where it's like, I'm not solidified at RCR. Like I can't just be comfortable here and, you know, make that questionable move for, you know, 12th and wreck the car and, you know, still have a job at the end of the year. I think maybe some of these owners are starting to like smarten up a bit and be like, hey, you know what? You can't do this every week. So either you get your mind right and you're driving right, or, you know, you're gone.
Yeah. The thing that really makes me wonder though, like if RCR said like, oh, we're parting ways with Sheldon Creed, it would make a lot more sense. Like, oh yeah, he hasn't won a race yet. You know, like, maybe they have another prospect, you know, Ty Dillon is losing his Cup ride and everything. And there's still rumors swirling around that whole ordeal. And I'm like, oh, that makes sense. But then when he implied that, like, it was kind of his choice, I was like, well, what are you doing? Where are you going to go? Because that RCR equipment in the Xfinity Series is pretty good. I think, I think it's, I mean, it won a championship a couple of years ago. Austin Hill wins it pretty frequently at super speedway type track. So I don't know, just it seemed out there, seemed odd. But maybe we'll find out more as the months go on. And then whatchamacallit, John Hunter Nemechek, he's going to be running the 42 this week in place of Carson Hocevar, which is funny because last week they said Carson was going to end up running the rest of the races. And then a week later, they're like, oh, sorry, except for that one, we're going to let John Hunter Nemechek. But
yeah,
I guess
I was so over there because I obviously follow them on like Twitter, my social media. I'm like, what are you guys doing here? Like, what is happening? Like, get it together over there at Legacy. Like, the season has been over, you know, and it's like, okay, you kind of, but like, it's still in shambles over there. I feel like they need to really Like, they need to iron everything out before we make that switch next year. Like, get your shit together, Legacy.
No,
I mean, it makes sense because John Hunter is going to be riding for them. Right. But, I mean, it's going to be a different make next year, manufacturer. So, like, is it really going to benefit them that much to jump in a car right now?
Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe it will, but
other than like, oh, a quick like meet and greet with your possible next crew chief, like I'm not exactly sure what they're gonna do with like the team wise, crew chief wise, and all that stuff. But yeah, just I mean, it seems
John
odd.
Hunter been in the next gen?
Yeah, I think so. Oh, actually, I don't know.
They want him to get in the next gen.
I got it. I'm on it, Whitey.
Yeah, I left my phone before.
That would make sense. Then, if he's never been in the next gen car, I could see him being like, "Hey, let's
give him a little test.
Let's throw you in here and see what you do." You know.
No, that's true. Get him like a little bit, just a little tiny seat amount of seat time
before
the Daytona 500 and the Clash. Well, I would. Well, I guess, man, I wish they would go back to the Clash just being pole sitters. Because now like does he qualify for the Clash? I guess so, if they're doing all the teams. So yeah, the Clash is going to be his first shot in an X gen. If he hasn't already run, I feel like maybe he did like a Rick Ware deal, but no, cause it's Toyota, man. You want to know what? I'm just going to say it to everyone listening. This season has fried my brain. I don't know how much I have left. I'm looking forward to the off season. Not going to lie.
One race. Last year, for 2311.
Okay.
Wait, did he fill in for Reddick last year?
Oh, you want to know what? He probably filled in. No, he probably filled in for Kurt.
Was Reddick sick last year?
No, when Bubba got suspended.
Yeah, Reddick was still in the eight cars.
That's what it was.
Bubba got suspended, because Gibbs was running the 45 for Kurt. Then yeah, so they needed someone. Yeah, okay, there you go. That makes sense.
John Hunter was in the 45.
Yeah, so they probably what was it? That was probably in the playoffs. So they put Gibbs. Yeah, because he got suspended after Bubba got suspended after Vegas. He missed Homestead. They probably took Gibbs out of the 45, threw him in the 23 because that car was still running for owner's point. No.
I honestly don't remember.
I don't know.
It was a year ago, and I don't remember it at all.
Yeah, yeah. Now that you say it, it reminds me, but I can't remember all of the details.
I remember obviously Bubba getting suspended for the whole Larson thing, and then
yeah,
obviously I remember all that, but I don't remember John Hunter filling in. But
well, yeah,
he did.
Well, yeah, because after Pocono, Gibbs was in the 45 car for Kurt. And Bubba was just doing his thing. And then they swapped. Oh, that's what happened. They swapped numbers once the playoffs started because the 45 car was still in the owner's championship.
Yes.
So Bubba was running for the owner's championship and then he got suspended. So yeah, Gibbs was running his 23 car. Okay. Now it all makes sense. That's why
it takes us a little bit of time to piece things together, but we got there.
But it doesn't help that the drivers we're talking about just switched from multiple teams and multiple numbers in within the same team. That's why we're confused for it.
Within like 3 months span too. Yeah. Okay. So,
yeah.
All right. So yeah. Anyways, John Hunter Nemechek is going to be running the 42. Toyota's going to let him run a Chevy for the weekend. Carson Hocevar doesn't seem like he's in too rough of a shape with it. And then he'll run the last two races. But yeah, we'll see what happens with him. Blaney, this is an interesting story. Ryan Blaney was disqualified after Sunday's race for his left front shock not making specific length. And then it was rescinded yesterday after NASCAR said that there was an issue with the measurement template that they used. Have you guys done a deep dive into this? I know, Matt, you sent an explanation of how they measure everything. What do you guys think about the Blaney penalty and then removing the penalty?
Boz, is that his name?
Bozzy, I don't know.
He's one of when like for technical stuff like this, he's like maybe the best follow on Twitter. I guess he's a former crew guy or something. Anyway,
yeah, he works for IMSA.
He put out like a 20 tweet thread explaining everything. And it gets really technical. If you're like a gearhead, it would probably make a lot more sense to you than it did to me, but he does essentially like once he gets past all the technical stuff, you know, break it down in layman's terms as to exactly what happened. We're gonna get Whitey. I don't know if you're gonna pull up the handle there, because I'm not gonna begin to explain what he broke down, because it was a long thread. But because I wanted to understand exactly what happened for the podcast. And then what I saw Kenny Wallace put out a video trying to explain it. And I was like, ooh, okay, 4-minute video, Kenny Wallace. You know, he usually does a roundabout way of getting there, but he usually does explain a situation. Yeah. So I watched that, and like Kenny Wallace, like he's one of my favorite, like current and all time favorite, like personalities from the NASCAR world, like ever. Like I love him, yeah. But he did an awful job explaining anything even closely related to what happened with the Blaney car. So I'm still not 100% sure. Essentially, the template wasn't right. It wasn't dialed in right or something like that. NASCAR kind of, I guess they realized, like, wait a second, what we DQ'd them for wouldn't have really been beneficial for them anyway. So let's go back and take another look at this.
Yeah.
They looked at it, realized their template was wrong.
Yeah.
And
so
then
there's basically there's a minimum and a maximum that shock could be at.
Yeah.
And the template they have for each shock of the car, they have the left front, the right front, the left rear, and the right rear. And each one of those templates, the little holes on the end where they would get bolted to the car, the little eyelets, they have pegs. Yeah. And you put one in the peg and the other one should reach the other peg. The one side, it could move because obviously, Cruz, you could set it within a certain distance, but you can't go back below minimum. So on Blaney's shock, before it went out, it tested, everything was fine. So now when they went to put it on post-race using the same template, this is what NASCAR said in my terms of reading it.
Yeah.
When they were checking other, you know, springs or shocks on that template, debris from the shock fell into the template where that pin could slide. Slides. And when it slid, Blaney's obviously didn't fit because it was set at the very, very minimum that it could possibly set. And NASCAR's like, well, why? This would be no benefit whatsoever. And they went back and looked, and that's what would have happened. There was debris got stuck to cause it not to fit. You clean that debris out, it slides in that another 100,000th or whatever, and bam, it's on there. So they blamed it on debris from checking other springs, jamming up their template.
Matt,
that's what it was.
Matt, are you laughing?
Honestly, Eric, the most helpful, most complete explanation I've heard in 24 hours, and I wasn't expecting it from you. That was like Will Ferrell from Old School. What happened? I blacked out.
He's 100% right though. Looking at the Twitter
you, Kenny Wallace, dude, I need a show. Wait, clip that. And put
it. I'm gonna clip it. And I'm gonna
That was the most. I've known Eric for 20 years. That was the most impressive 35 seconds I've ever seen come out of his mouth.
So the Twitter handle, it's Bozzy Tatarvic, Tatarevic. He does a great explanation, but he also showed the drawings of the templates, and there Eric explained it perfectly. There's a little stopper and the peg can slide back and forth. And NASCAR explained that they got some debris in there, so they couldn't push it all the way to its limit. I thought you were laughing because it was like, oh, Another phantom debris caution, you know,
no.
Saving the Penske team.
I was blown away by that, Eric. Now I know exactly what happened.
Eric, you should be a race engineer. Why aren't you working on shocks and springs in a cup garage somewhere?
I think I'm just good at explaining things in layman terms, maybe, you know?
No, that was great. And whatchamacallit? Speaking of another penalty, the 54 team of Ty Gibbs was penalized after losing that tire. We all saw that. I tell you what, it was really interesting watching that single rim roll while the other side didn't touch because it was like cut in half. That was pretty cool looking, man. I don't know. I'm just glad.
Baby.
Oh, yeah. I'm just glad it didn't hit anyone in the infield because it did a little bouncing near the inside wall, too. But that's all I have for NASCAR news. Pretty light news week. Unless you guys saw anything in between.
No, we're just getting down to the last three races. Like, it's wild. It's we spend all the time in the off season ramping up to the Daytona 500, and here we are. It's like, wow, we've got three races left.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And you want what though? Man, I felt every race this season. I'm ready for the off season, a little break, not gonna lie. But we have a race weekend to talk about. We were in Las Vegas. We saw an Xfinity and Cup race. Riley Herbst ran away with it, getting his first Xfinity Series win. I think he won by like 15 seconds, something like that. What do you guys think about Riley Herbst finally getting a win in the Xfinity Series?
He's been around.
Matt usually bets on him.
He's been around for a while. Yeah, he won because I stayed away from it this week.
Yeah, what were you saying? Like every week you put him in a DraftKings lineup and every week that fails you?
Not every week do I add him to a lineup, but every week that he is in my lineup, he either knocks the wall down or speeds on pit road or just ruins his day. This is not a hyperbole. Every single time I bet on him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, hey, good to see Riley Herbst finally pull one off.
And then Kyle Larson led seven times for 133 laps in the Cup Series race. It lasted 2 hours, 57 minutes, and 10 seconds. We saw 20 lead changes among seven different drivers and seven cautions for 36 laps. Fellas, let's jump into the race grades, and we will start with Matt. What did you think about the Vegas race?
So I gave it a B minus, kind of like a lot like last week when we were discussing that race. You know, there were a few medium sized moments, but nothing wild. You know, the best parts, you know, we saw, well, at the end of stage one, you know, James Smalls kept Martin Truex Jr. out. That was kind of a wild call.
Yeah.
You know, it actually worked out for the first 10 or 15 laps of stage two. And then he eventually fell back and made his way back up. And I don't know if you guys want to get into that in a little bit about, you know, that dynamic of MTJ and James Smalls. But, you know, the best parts of the race for me were like the restarts, where we would actually see some really, really fun battles. Like,
oh, yeah.
we got three wide, four wide on some of those restarts. And those battles would last 5-10 laps, but then it would kind of straighten out and we'd go back to, you know, the field kind of getting spread out. And you had a couple battles here and there that would last a couple laps. But at the end of the day, you know, it was missing something. And I don't know if we wanted to mean the three of us were kind of talking about that, you know, earlier today is this race and the last couple races have been missing something.
Yeah.
And so I gave it a B minus, probably could have given it a C. I know, you know, it got a decent rating on the Jeff Gluck's poll. You know, was this a good race? I think it was in the 70s last time I checked. I don't know what it finished at, but yeah, I don't know. It was okay.
Yeah,
I agree, Matt. I mean, I gave it a C. I think it was a B race, though. I just think now in the playoffs, and I know we tend to not shit on the broadcast, but I think they change it up a little bit. And I think in the playoffs, what are they going to do? They're going to focus a little more on the playoff drivers. And I kind of noticed that over the last few weeks where maybe some of the battles that I was watching myself on the TV screen, they would cut to something else and I would be kind of blown away. Like, why would you cut away from that? Because they're kind of going with the storyline of the playoffs and whatever. And I think maybe that kind of affected it for me a little bit because I was searching too, Matt, to find that what was the one thing that it was kind of – it was off. It was good. You know what I mean? There was like you said, those three, four wide, you know, that – holy shit keeps you going. But without that battle at the end with Bell and Larson and him trying to, you know, catch him, like I just think there would have been nothing memorable from it. So you know, once again, I kind of put it this way. If this is a normal race during the year, I'm fine with it. Great race. Mm-hmm. In the playoffs. You know, it was just lacking a little bit of that oomph you need and you want to see when it's, you know, you're in the quote unquote playoffs, you know. I thought it was missing something, but I didn't know what. And I thought maybe you guys could kind of maybe get a feedback of the broadcast part where I think they were focusing more on the top guys and where were they all day? Everyone was up in that top 10. So we weren't really seeing from 10th on back what kind of those battles were shaping out to be. And I think what I'm trying to say is the flow of the race gets changed a little bit as far as they broadcast it during the playoffs. That's just something that I'm kind of throwing out there.
This might be a hot take I'm going to throw at you guys. And it just kind of hit me as Eric was kind of talking there. I might actually enjoy the last 5 or 6 races of the regular season more than I do the entire playoffs.
Yeah, I think so too.
At this point, yes.
The whole field's still alive. You still got like guys trying to fight their way into the playoffs.
Yeah.
And that sounds crazy because here we are in the playoffs and you still have guys now fighting to get into the championship, which should be the most important part of the season. And it is. But it's just it's more shrunken down, and if you don't really have a rooting interest in the guys that are left over, it's kind of like
something. Yeah,
so, I'm watching because I love the sport. Obviously, you know, I'm watching because you know we do this podcast. But like, it eliminates 2/3 of the field, and I get why. Like, I get why they have to focus on it. Like, it's not a broadcast thing, you know.
But it's something. It does something to you while I'm watching it. So I'm glad. Like, yeah, I know exactly what you're saying too, Matt. Like, yeah, I don't know.
I completely agree with you guys. And you want to know what? I think you're hitting on something I've been trying to figure out for the last couple of weeks. Because I agree. I give it a B-. I thought it was a decent race. We saw a lot of green flag runs that kind of I zoned out during. But like you said, nothing really happened. But there was a lot of action early in the stages on stage, like whenever cautions came out and stuff, we saw tire issues that were interesting, but yeah, it lacks something like that drama or whatever. And I think you're right. I think because like going into the playoffs, there's still all these guys battling to get into the playoffs. Now we're down to 8 guys and I could see any of these 8 guys really winning the championship, you know, and not be surprised by it. There's a couple of guys where I'm like, okay, these 2 or 3, like those are definitely like the championship favorites. But like now the rest of the field's kind of been eliminated from the action, you know? So now they're focusing on like, oh, Martin Truex Jr., he's running in 15th. What's going on with him? But he's not really doing much. So it's like, do we really care during the broadcast? I want to see the battles in the field. I want to see, you know, guys going for stage points. But at this point, stage points don't matter except for four drivers, you know?
Right.
So all the things that normally matter in a race, like track position and stuff for all these guys trying to get into the playoffs or build up their playoff kitty.
Now
it's just 8 guys. Yeah.
You have a whole field gambling, doing different strategies throughout the race and everything. You know, I've got to get off strategy because I've got to make up points or I've got to win. So yeah. I've got to go. And you have the whole field kind of having this mentality where it's just like you said, like, it's 8 guys left, but if 1 or 2 of those 8 guys is running in 20th, like they're not even going to talk about them. So now we're shrunk down to a field of 6 that we're talking about. And then it's like, well, you've got out of those field of 6, you've got 2 or 3 of them in the top 5. So now we're only really going to focus on those 2 or 3. So the field shrunk down even less. And it's like,
yeah,
I don't know.
But as long as those battles are good, who gives a flying fuck?
Exactly. But because
we would all agree with that. But it's just the fact that Larson, he got such a good lead and he was just as soon as he get out front, he would stay out front. And like not until the end did Bell find that 10th that he needed to really catch him. And, you know, if it's different, if those 3 drivers or whatever and those they're battling, they're racing, they're going back and forth and on pit road, they're nailing at the pit crews and everyone's going good. And it's, oh, man, now it's going to be a battle to the end between. Yeah, I'll take that any day of the week. But it's kind of not been that way, you know.
There's got to be something because like we like most podcasts, like I don't like complaining without having a solution in mind, but I really don't have a solution in mind because like I'm not saying like, oh, I'm tired of the playoffs because I'm not. The playoffs are better than the Winston Cup standings because if we were in the Winston Cup standings, it would go from 8 drivers that we were talking about to like 2 or 3 that really had a shot. So that's not the answer either. So I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like I said, NBC, like I'm not going to put it on them. They're covering the important drivers. It's not like it's they're a system, you know, of what's going on. But I don't know what the right answer is. It's just it's been lacking. You know, like I said, it's not as exciting as I think on paper it should be.
Yeah, like I think now it's starting to make sense why as the playoffs go, I'm losing more and more interest in the season. Where I'm like, all right, let's just get this over with. because yeah, the round of 16 where it's like, oh, there's 16 guys in the mix. And then the round of 12 and like the first two races of the round of 12, I mean, we had Talladega, which was like a wild card and everything. And then the road, like then you have the closing race of the Roval where it's like, oh, now people are really fighting for that last spot. You had Martin Truex Jr. drama, all that stuff. Now we're back, reset the round of 8. The first two races really don't matter. And then we're going to get to Martinsville where it's like, all right, now we have 5 guys battling for 1 spot left, you know, or.
Right. So that restart kind of restarts everything.
Yeah.
In a way. Like, you know what I mean? It's kind of like, okay, now we have to start this. It's like you go up, you get up to this huge, huge high of like the Truex and all this, is he going to make it? And then all of that momentum you have, you fall flat on your face in that race 1 of this next round.
Yeah.
And then now you, by the time you get to that third race there, okay, we're back up to the top because the drama's there. And then you fall flat on your, so like, yeah, going through that, maybe those highs and lows really, really do affect it.
Yeah. And you want to, what, if you want to comment in on the YouTube page or tell us on Twitter or Facebook, let us know if you're feeling the same way, because I want to know if it's just us kind of, you know, having like burnout and fatigue. Or if it is, or if you're seeing the same deal where it's like, yeah, I kind of am losing interest, like as the guys get dwindled down and stuff, because I mean, I gave it a B minus, but I thought we did really see like a pretty good race on Sunday, but because only 4 guys' days really mattered, well, then it kind of, it takes a little bit away from it, you know, like Ross Chastain had a good day. He battled back from a pit road penalty. He was speeding. And then you got a top 5, but like that would be a story we would normally talk about. But because he's out of the playoffs now, it doesn't really matter, you know?
You know what else it is too? It's like these cars, man, like it's hard to cause chaos with these cars where in years, because last year was the same as this year. Like it's a mirror for me anyway, my feelings and the way I'm taking it all in. It's a mirror image of exactly how I felt this time last year.
Yeah.
But years previous to that, I never had the fatigue that I have now. Oh, and I honestly, because we had chaos, we had, not that I'm rooting for chaos, but I'm kind of rooting for chaos. There's more drama, I guess, is these cars are kind of preventing the drama from unfolding on the racetrack in a way.
That's a good point too, because like I've never seen a playoff field so close in points before until this season. Like last season, we saw a lot of first time winners. So the playoff points were all crazy because only a certain amount of guys were winning stages and building those playoff points. Right now, like going into like Byron's only +9, Truex is +2, Hamlin's +2. You know, like those are the top 4 guys like locked in.
And that should be interesting because it's anyone's ball game at this point still.
But at the same time, it doesn't feel,
there's a lot of first time
you know?
Winners that we could get too, championship wise. That should be interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm not looking at it that way. Maybe I have to start when it gets to this point.
Spinning it.
You know,
different.
We always figure out different ways to consume it. Maybe knowing that it gets this way towards the end of the season, maybe we kind of have to look at it that way. Like, hey, like what can I pull out of this to make this a little bit more, you know, exciting for me? And it's like, damn, like Slick Willie Two Clocks could get his first championship this year. You know, there's a lot of like you look at Denny Hamlin, how long he's waited. To get this championship, he's knocking on the door. You know, Truex, he was supposed to retire. What is he doing? Terrible playoffs, the worst playoffs in what is it now? The 7-8 stretch race that he's ever had, pretty much, and it's in this playoff. So there are storylines, there are things out there, and I don't know why that's not where my brain is going first when consuming these races, though.
It's not a war of attrition anymore. It's not like a, you know, you gotta avoid the minefields. You gotta just survive in advance. It's like, who has the fastest car? Oh, Larson does. Okay.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what I mean? I don't know. I don't mean to like poo-poo away like what Larson did this weekend, but I just feel like in years past, and maybe we're just overthinking this, maybe we're completely wrong. And again, if you have other feelings, listeners, and you want to comment and feel free to shoot holes in what we're talking about here, but I just feel like in years past, like, man, it was a war. It was a battle out there. And it just doesn't seem like these guys are battling. It just seems like they're out there kind of all, they all have the same car. They're all kind of, you know, who's going to make the least amount of mistakes. I don't know. I don't know if even what I'm saying makes any sense.
I know exactly what you're saying, because it takes us back to the Roval from the week before. Like, think about how intense those first couple Roval races were. Those were cutoff races in the old car. There was beating and banging. People were pushing each other out of the way. All sorts of drama happening. And then the last 2 years, really not much of it. And is it because, like, you just can't catch the guy in front of you? You can't make a pass. You can't set yourself up. Like, I know a lot of people.
These things are built like tanks now, where you bump somebody and it doesn't do anything.
Doesn't do anything. So yeah. So
well,
like
the transmission too. You just downshift in gear. You mash the gas. You stay the same speed as the guy that hit you. When in previous cars, when you fucked up, you paid for it.
Yeah.
In this new car, you don't pay for it when you screw up.
No. So exactly. So like, we saw Kyle Larson hit the wall and win the race. Like, you know,
like not just like scrape the wall. Like he freaking knocked the wall down.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And like that would never happen.
That's what I mean right there. That's what I mean right there. Like in years past, that might end his day. You know, that might destroy his car. Where
now, like the drama of some guy having a bad race and then falling back in the points is Martin Truex Jr. finishing 20th because everyone else finished in the top 10. You know, it wasn't like, oh, they were battling and Truex overdrove and it got into the wall and then like his day was done. So he had this terrible day. It's like, no, he just had a bad pit call and it fucked his day over and he lost a bunch of positions. Right,
the teams are too similar that if you have one of those bad, like you lose spots, you're almost done for with this new car. I think a lot of it is this new car and it's still early with the new car. You know, I tend to hate to rag on it, you know, this early. But I mean, I mean, you even hear other people. Denny says it a lot, too, on his podcast, where it's like a lot of these problems come back to this car.
Yeah.
And what not only like what it's doing on the racetrack, but what the crews are actually limited to in tuning them to get better on the racetrack. So I think we're seeing that like, OK, last year we had a bunch of first time winners. Yeah. You know, but the field was still tight.
Yeah.
This year, you're seeing the tight points battle because all the cars are fairly similar in speed. So the cars that have speed are always finishing where the speed is, you know, and it's there's only so much now that these teams, like when you find speed
and
you get to that maximum amount of changes you can make within the limitations that NASCAR gives you as a team and a crew chief, car chief. What do? When everyone finds out that that's where the speed is, you're kind of limited. I guess with the old car, we were already at that point because it was 60 years of engineering it to the point it got to.
Yeah.
But I still think there might have been more little tricks and stuff that they could do to make, you know, certain cars, you know, faster than others. Where
there's a lot less room for the redneck ingenuity. You know, there's a lot less forgiveness for some of those, you innovation. Know, crazy that Dale Jr. likes to talk about on his podcast from years past. You know, they're going to catch everything now. And Eric, you just said you don't like trashing the new car. I don't like trashing the new car, but I will, and I have, and I will continue to do so. But here's the silver lining that I'll throw out there. Is like NASCAR has proven that they're willing to revisit things and do whatever they need to do to make things better. So we'll see what happens in the off season, but like they need to do something. What were the big three things that Denny talked about earlier this year that NASCAR needs to look at? It was transmission. It was horsepower. And was it aero maybe or something?
Yeah. That splitter, the underneath, they needed to do something with that. Like that's where a lot of people are complaining. Like that's where all the downforce is coming from, but it's also preventing a lot of stuff. Yeah. Like the tires, the width, the, you know, and the inner liner stuff people were saying, cause the cars at first in the beginning, they were stalling on the racetrack. They were so low. They couldn't roll.
Oh, yeah.
So, tires was a big thing at first there, but, I just think, you know, it's kind of been like this all season though, hasn't it? Where we have a 2-3 race stretch where we're like, man, what the hell is going on?
And then we'll have
a couple
race
where we're like, all right, oh shit, NASCAR's back. And then it's like, two races. I'm like, what happened here? So, you know, Matt, you said it when, you know, we were texting the other day last year, kind of the same sentiment where we were feeling the burnout, feeling everything. And then what happened? And it lit not only the NASCAR world on fire, but just every news, everybody was covering it.
The Hail Melon, man. Yeah. The Hail Melon. Like that was like, so, at this time last year, we had no idea that that was about to enter our lives. So who knows what's going to happen at Homestead? Who knows what's going to happen at Martinsville? And God, that track out west that starts the P that I don't even want to say its name. Who knows what's going to happen there with the championship?
And that's the thing too. Like right now, in my head, it's either going to be Kyle Larson or William Byron to win a championship, right?
Yeah, that's
for sure.
But who the hell thought Joey Logano was going to win the championship last year? Nobody. He was non-existent. Nobody. So who knows what's going to happen once we get to Phoenix? Who knows what's going to happen once we get to Martinsville? And I'm excited for next race too. I'm excited for Homestead. So like, I'm excited for these races. It's just sometimes it's like, oh man, you want to know what? That didn't live up to the hype that I put it out into in my head. And you want to know what? I got myself real hyped for Vegas. I thought it was going to be a really good race, especially for Reddick, and it just wasn't. It wasn't
like that. Homestead is arguably the best mile and a half that we have on the circuit. At least that's the sentiment here. And I know other people outside of us feel the same way. So like we're heading into what should be a good race coming up. Yeah. And I really want to truly believe that it's going to be.
You know what it all comes down to though? Truly. I blame Fox. Because in 2021, Fox kept saying, best season ever, best season in NASCAR ever. And it really was a fantastic fucking season. And the last two seasons just haven't been able to live up to that 2021 season on Fox.
I have something here to throw out to you boys. I just thought of.
What's that?
We talk on the show. Okay, Slick Willie 2 Clocks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Blaney. Tyler Reddick. We all love these guys, right? Who's the new ones? Chris Buescher,
yeah.
Brad Keselowski, right? Then you have, I think I just popped in my head. Now hear me out. I think we like too many drivers.
Maybe.
And it's ruining. So hear me out.
Yeah.
So hear me out. I changed as a fan over the last couple of years. I'm like, I like the sport. I like this guy. I like that guy. Oh, he's fine. You know, whatever. I lost my edge as a fan because when I was a Kenseth fan, when I first started becoming a fan, I absolutely hated drivers.
Yeah.
Jeff Gordon, I couldn't stand every time I had an opportunity to see a Jeff Gordon fan. Fuck you. You know what I mean? Like yelling at everybody. Like there was a passion for my driver and there was a hatred for others.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And to me, it was my driver either won or he came in dead last in my eyes, you know? And there was other drivers that even when my driver wrecked early, I watched just to hope he didn't win.
Yeah.
And even Logano is losing that for me. Now I'm noticing like, it's like, he's not really running that great. So it's kind of like not done. And
like,
I'm
kind of like, okay, about him?
I'm not really super hating anybody right now. I think I might be getting too soft as a fan. And I like this guy. Nah, bitch. I'm going to start, next year, Whitey, yeah. Toyotas. Anyone that ain't a Toyota.
Fuck you.
Fuck you. Fuck you. My fandom has to change, I think. I need to get a little edge back. What? I think I got a little too soft here in my latter years as a NASCAR fan. And you know what? I think that has changed everything for me. Because right now, I don't give a shit. I like everybody that's about to win the championship. That shouldn't be. You should absolutely be watching right now because you should hate the fact that somebody could win that championship.
Eric's going to be walking in Walmart next spring, and some guy's going to be wearing a gold bow tie shirt. Not even related to NASCAR, and Eric's going to jump him.
You want to know what, dude? You want to know what, though? You're making
a point?
You're making a lot of sense. You're making a lot of sense because all last season, the seasons before that, I didn't like a whole lot of guys. I just wanted Reddick to go out there and finally get that fucking win. He started winning, and I started like, oh, yeah, I like Christopher Bell. Christopher Bell's good. I like William Byron.
Right?
Like, I like all these guys, and I do. I do. I like them. But it wasn't the same as when I was rooting for Reddick to go out there and win a fucking race, like.
Right.
Maybe we got soft. Maybe we got soft as fans.
An MVP award at the end of each season for who won the season between the three of us. In college football, they have the Heisman Trophy, and like every year, they always talk about
Heisman
moment. What moment won that guy the Heisman? Eric's having his Heisman moment today.
He is. And last year it was his rant on Michael McDowell.
That's what won him last year. Yep, he won it last year off of that one.
2-time Heisman winner. I think there's something to that though. And you want to know what? Maybe Maybe that's it. It's just we're not. Well, fired
it just got
up.
Me thinking. Like Matt said, like you don't want to just shit on everything. What is it like?
Yeah.
So like you know we talk a lot. You know after self reflection, what can I do to grow as a person? And I'm like, damn. So I just took a look at like, man, what is it? Why am I not feeling this excited? What is it? And like that's something that popped into my head, man. I used to be you know down for my guy, and that was it. And like. It was I kind of had a little self-created rivalries instead of like seeing what we have today where there's no rivalries out there. I'm a creative man, bitch.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It is, dude? You know what I think it is? All three of us. Well, you guys don't root for my driver, but no one roots for my driver because I get it. Chase Elliott, yada, yada, yada. But we all end up like rooting for each other's drivers. I think what we need to do is like, fuck Erik Jones. Fuck Tyler Reddick. Versus you guys versus each other. Like, yeah. I think that's what we need to start bringing back. Dude, think about it with you two, with Reddick and Bell back in the Xfinity series.
Exactly.
You guys are at each other's throats. Friendly, but like at each other's throats when that rivalry happened. I think we just need to go back to doing that.
You know what it is?
I agree.
You know what it is? It's a little bit of this podcast, though, too, because sometimes I feel afraid to offend someone's favorite driver that listens because I'm like,
I need to go back to old school, man. I think Eric's right about this.
But you want to know what, Kimmy? Fuck Joey Logano.
And
you want to what? Fuck Ryan Blaney too. And I'll tell you why. Fuck Ryan Blaney because my girlfriend's
Erik, you opened up a can of worms.
My girlfriend's in second place in NASCAR Fantasy. I'm in third place, and Kimmy's in first place. Right? First place pays 500. Second pays 300. And third place 200. This is big money league right now. And guess what? Kimmy was the only one with Ryan Blaney on her fucking lineup. It knocked her points down by 39. It got Bree within 10 points of first place going in with three races left. So now our possible combined $500 that we were going to win was a combined $700. And I start seeing those money signs. I'm like, yes, fuck you, Kimmy. Fuck Ryan Blaney. We're in the money, baby. I think I'm pretty safe in third place as long as nothing goes crazy, and then NASCAR fucking goes around and reverses the disqualification, gives the points back, and now she's fucking 45 points behind, sitting in second again. And you want to wait? Because these cars are so goddamn close to each other all the goddamn time, you can't make more than up than 10, 15 points in a weekend unless you happen to have the head-to-head and you pick the opposite of the other person, and then that guy fucking crashes out or something.
Did Whitey just have his Heisman moment?
Breathe, brother. Breathe.
So that's what's been pissing me off this week. We need that money, baby. I'd be happy if
you're mad at NASCAR.
I'm mad at NASCAR. No, I'm not mad at you, Kimmy. You're just playing the game the way the game's got to be played. She's fucking crushing us, though. I can't believe it. Anyways, that was my rant about Ryan Blaney. That's my records for the weekend.
Whitey, before next season starts, I'm going to need a blood pressure report. And if it's too high, I'm not letting you in the league.
I'm on two.
No, you know how in the car they show on the side of the driver's head, like the temperature and then the car, and they show Denny's heart rate. We're going to have one of those for Whitey's screen. It's going to show have his constant blood pressure.
Up. It's in the triple digits. We need to slow down.
Just pump the brakes a little bit. Don't worry, guys. I'm on 10 milligrams every day. 5 in the morning, 5 at night. I'll take my nighttime pill in a little bit. It'll bring my pressure back down. We'll be okay.
There you go. But, you're taking care of yourself.
But you guys want to jump into the checkers and wreckers.
3 wide for the lead. 1 lap to go.
It's this week's checkers and wreckers.
And I already kind of gave my wreckers where, and it's nothing against Ryan Blaney. It's more NASCAR just like, penalizing them and then taking the penalty back. And I understand like, yeah, they made the error. So like, yes, let's get rid of the penalty. But at the same time, it just put a sour taste in my mouth. And then I'm going to do my checkers real quick. Just Kyle Larson's save off the wall. Just a great move. Ooh. Saved his whole entire day. But since we start with Matt with the race grades, let's start with Erik with his checkers and wreckers.
So my checkers, I gave it to Larson. Just, you know, he's been on a tear, you know, and I think HMS has been on a tear, and, you know, he went out there and, you know, he just dominated essentially, you know, and that's huge. Lock himself in, and he's had an up and down year. So to win, to lock yourself in. I think he's going to be more aggressive coming forward. I don't think he's going to stop this momentum, is why I'm giving him my checkers, because everything that he's doing and racing in right now, he is just winning and excelling in, whether it's his dirt car, whether it's he's doing his Indy, you know, practice and qualifying that he's going. So his everything is going just the way it's going in his world right now. You just can't bet against him. He's just in, I think he's just in the racing zone right now. I think he's just super focused, and his mind, and it's on nothing but racing.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I think you're seeing that on the racetrack now. I know I questioned him a little bit, like, is his heart in with NASCAR? And I don't know, I think I flipped on that a little bit. I think I see him, you know, responding a little bit better, and I see him going out here and taking NASCAR and running really well and going out there. And, you know, so it's changing my mind a little bit on that sentiment. It might've been just going through some shit at the time that we don't know about, but no, I just think he's out there. He's tuned and dialed right in. So, like you said, that save too, absolutely insane. Crew chief too only gave it a 9 out of 10 because he goes if to get a 10 out of 10, he goes, he did hit the wall.
Yeah,
so, you know, can't give it a 10 out of 10. So I thought that was funny too by Cliff Daniels there.
So a lot of people say, like, oh, since he won Las Vegas, they could kind of coast these next two races, focus on Phoenix. Do you think Larson coasts, or do you think he tries to go out and win Homestead too?
I think he could win every race. Every race. And then there's just no question about it. I think he could do it. Homestead, you know, they're all going to rip the top. And who's better than that at Reddick, Bell, and Larson? And who was battling last week?
Yeah.
You know, with Bell, Larson, you know, it's just like those guys have a knack for running up there. So can Larson go out there and win again this week? Hell yeah, I think he could. Could he go to Martinsville and win? Shit, why not? And, you know, Phoenix, it's to me, I could say that same thing. It's why I said it about anyone. These drivers that are left, you could literally probably say that. Well, maybe not everyone, but
for the most part, for the most part.
I think you could say that, you know?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. How about you, Matt? What's your checkers and wreckers?
So my checkers, well, I guess I'll keep it uniform with you guys. It's also going to Larson, but it's also going to Christopher Bell. So it's going to the Dirt Boys for giving us one hell of a show. You know, they both started on the front row.
Yeah.
They both finished 1 and 2. I think without them, this race might get like a D, like it might be in that D, but like those two, it was really fun. And then Bell decided to make it really interesting the last handful of laps as well, kind of running down Larson. I think he said if he had 1 or 2 more laps, he would have got there.
I think he would have,
you know,
too.
He made it interesting the last couple laps, and you know, thank God for those two, because that race might have probably been more of a stinker than we're giving it.
Gotta respect Bell too for not just, he could have ran him over. He could have essentially ran. He had the run.
Yeah,
he had the run there, and he just went up top. He went, and like, I think there was a little bit of respect and everything running through the head of those of that 20 car. But you know, whether he would have or wouldn't have ran through him for that win there, I'm not sure, but it seemed like he showed a little bit of respect there.
No, he definitely did. And even Larson said, like, oh, thanks for racing me with respect in his post-race interview and stuff. Like, he definitely could have wrecked him for the win. But that's not Christopher Bell either. He's squeaky clean driver the way it is, you know. In fact, who did he spin out last week at the Roval? Where he's like, did we make contact? Like, yeah, he just stayed silent. I couldn't tell if it was like, yeah, I did that on purpose out of frustration, or he's like, oh, I kind of fucked that one up. I don't know. But
I mean, he's an honest racer, right? Like, you don't want to be known as the guy who's a dirty racer. But again, maybe that's one of the things we're missing. Maybe we need a guy out like dude, Chastain, he dialed it back after Rick Hendrick verbally abused him. And
Think about all the commotion and excitement we had from him driving the way he was driving. We had a story every week with him driving the way he was driving.
We ended up complaining
about him. And now here I am. I'm like, damn. I go, Chastain better go out there and start smashing people again.
I said it when it was going on. let's appreciate what kind of driver he is, because if he changes the way he's driving, we're gonna regret it. We're gonna miss
that wild card every single week where, you know, he could cause some shit, you know, and I think that put other drivers on edge and kind of got them out of their little shells too, because it's like, I had enough of this guy already, you know? So you need that one guy to start ruffling feathers, and then everyone kind of starts getting irritated, and it just causes this huge swarm.
I think you need a couple guys out there like that, but...
Well, that's what it'll do. It'll trickle. Yeah. It'll irritate one guy, and then he'll start getting irritated, racing people. And next thing you know, I think we had that. And then it got a little too, you know, extracurricular, if you want to call it
that. I was enjoying the shit out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, last year we had it with Denny and Ross Chastain. This year we had it with Ross Chastain and pretty much everyone for a little bit there. And then we lost it. Is that another piece that we're missing?
Right.
You know, is that what we're missing?
A little bit of chaos, maybe. You know, maybe that's...
We need that wild card.
We talk like we want to see good racing and the racing and all about the racing. But at the same time, this is sports entertainment, you know, and I think they're going the entertainment route with, you know, TV deals. I you need a little bit of that chaos. So, maybe we need another Ross Chastain outing next season.
Well, kind of piggybacking off of that, we did have a little bit of chaos. So my wreckers, I don't know if you guys noticed, there was a trend that happened on Sunday. My wreckers goes to the cars with the number 4.
Oh, yeah. In that.
So you have the 14. The 42, the 43, the 48, and the 54. What do they all have in common?
Tire
they
issues?
They all had tire or wheel issues, and it ruined their days on Sunday. So I just thought that was interesting. It was like, oh, my God, if I'm Kevin Harvick or if I'm Tyler Reddick, you know, I better be – William Byron, I better be careful right now because I have a 4 in my number.
Thankfully.
But, yeah, I just thought it was a weird little trend there that all the cars that had issues all had 4s in their numbers.
I was going to say, thankfully, the 45 was still alive, and the same with William Byron. But fuck William Byron. I don't want you to win a championship. My driver's still in the hunt, too. So.
That's right. That's right.
We got to get that passion back.
Dude, my wreckers. I didn't get my wreckers. My wreckers is the 19 team.
Oh,
Matt
yeah.
Matt alluded to it earlier. James Small, that call. Completely wrong call. He fessed up to it, and he's like, my bad. I shouldn't have done that. And once again, the bicker going back and forth on the radio, which is common now, we say. But, you know, still, at this point, how many more times? They're having the Denny Hamlin shit luck of last season, this season, it seems
like.
They are. You know, they have bad, fast cars, and they go out there, and they just shoot themselves in their foot immediately. Like, not – it doesn't take them a while where they run good all race long when they have issues. No, Truex's issues are always like immediately.
It was like lap 4. It was like lap 4 of the first. I think it was the first race of the playoffs or whatever. It was like one of the races in the playoffs, like literally the beginning of the race, like Truex hits the wall. Tire goes down. Truex hits the wall and this race is over.
Wasn't that Darlington?
It was Darlington, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Was it? No. He had a tire go down. It was a race that I didn't watch.
It was the first
live.
Or second race in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Was it Kansas?
It was early. It was like literally, it was like Kansas, as soon as the race started, they said, oh, Truex has an issue. I remember it was lap four, because it was the same weekend, I believe, where Aaron Rodgers got taken out for the season on the fourth play of the game.
It was
the fourth play of the game. Aaron Rodgers got taken out, and it was the fourth lap of the race that Martin Truex got taken out. Anyway, I thought it was funny where, you know, not funny, but where as soon as Truex started fading in this race in Vegas, you know, after he stayed out and everyone, the whole NASCAR community kind of realized, oh, that was a really bad call for James Small to make. They panned to James Small on top of the war wagon. And he's just like, you could see in his face. He's just like, oh, no.
Yep.
Well, you can just see it in his face. Like, he knows he made a wrong call there.
I just don't understand why doing the gamble that early on, you know, like, because
I think they're panicking. I think this is a legit, like, oh my God, nothing has worked so far. I'm just going to try this. I really do believe that. Cause like, and I don't blame them either because you have to do something different. What you've been doing hasn't been working. You need to change something up drastically. So maybe it was just a mental error or a Hail Mary. Like, let's try this to see if we could make something happen. I don't know.
Changed,
but
what changed from the regular season over to the playoffs? Because they were probably the team I picked them.
Yeah,
I picked them to win the championship before the playoffs started because they were the team that had all the speed, all the momentum, couldn't do anything wrong, and then on a dime, it just all stopped. So what changed? You know, I know we don't have the answer for that, but.
Well, this has the writing on the wall for just what Whitey said earlier when he's like, you know, no one expected Joey Logano to win. So at this point, I don't think anyone expects Martin Truex Jr. to win.
I don't expect him to get out of Martinsville, to be honest with you. I really don't. So I'm going to be shocked if he does.
Right. So to me, I think, and I think I said this last week, where I thought Truex was going to, in this round, step up and really show what he did. Mm-hmm. And man, he didn't. On Sunday, he did not bring the old Truex back. Okay, still got a ninth place finish, you know, top 10. Okay. But those mistakes are still there, you know, and you could say that about Denny. Like, you want to play him in fantasy, but you can't trust his team to not screw up on pit road. Yeah. So if there's certain things about these drivers and teams where it's not maybe the driver or whatever, but you just know that there's these black clouds that hang over certain teams' heads for a little bit for some weird reason. And man, Truex has one hovering over them these whole playoffs. It's insane.
You know what,
I still think he has a shot, but
I'm looking at it like maybe he didn't have all that bad of a race. I mean, his average running position was 10th, which is fine. You know, that's a good average running position. You know, he had 23 fastest laps, which is great. He led 9 laps. So like
it was definitely his best race of the playoffs so far.
Yes. Yes, but to Eric's records, if James Smalls doesn't overthink that call, maybe his average running position is 5th or 6th. And instead of just 9 laps led, it's 90 laps led.
Right. And then that's confidence going into the next race that you did something right. That was the move I had to do. Now you're going into the next race. Oh, I screwed up again. That wasn't the right call. Even though you finished well, you're still thinking about that call and how you messed up and you could have done better. If you did better, now you're going into the next week thinking like, okay, like we're here. Like the next step is victory lane. Not next step is the top 10.
Yeah.
Because they were finishing 17th or 15th or worse. So like getting a top 10 to me was, you got to be closer to that. You're looking to get to the championship race here. Top 10s aren't going to do it. You saw the people that were in the top 10 all day. They're the championship 8 right now. And like they're battling up front and it was just, to me, I want to see him battling up front. And I thought he was going to where he was up there. But once again, it's, you know, the car was there. He's got speed. He had that. It was the call. And everyone, like you said, man, I was like, what did he kind of knew that it wasn't the right call. But man, those little things, you can't have those happen in the playoffs. And, you know, maybe this is where it's a little too late to turn it on and he's going to have some trouble here. But I'm pulling for him, you know. I'm not pulling for him. Are you kidding me? I ain't pulling for shit.
To your point, seven out of the 8 guys vying for a championship finished in the top 10. Like we're looking at the elite 8 here anyways. And if everyone's finishing right around each other, collecting pretty much the same amount of points throughout the day for stage points and stuff, you're not making those big swings and stuff. So
mistakes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Avoid them and who could take advantage of them. That's all this next 3 races. That is what it is.
Well, I'll tell you who did second place. Christopher Bell. We talked about him. He led 5 times for 61 laps. He almost hunted down Larson in those closing laps. Just needed like 1 or 2 more laps. I thought he would have had him watch him rip that fence. Kyle Busch came in 3rd. He had a pretty interesting day. I thought he was super solid. He didn't lead any laps, but he was in the top 5 for much of the day. What do you guys think about Kyle Busch having a good run in Vegas?
A little too late.
Yeah.
You know, it's good to see him run, but I mean, it's kind of, I don't know. Like you said, Whitey, like who gives a shit? Because it's, it's honestly like
the same thing. Like that's what kills the playoffs for me. Cause like Brad Keselowski led 5 times for 38 laps. Brad Keselowski was possible, had the chance to win his first race as a team owner and he finished in 4th, which is a great run. But at the same time, it's like, well, he's not running for a championship.
And I know
so
I was
pulling
for him too there to get that first win. And
so
it was just
I.
like,
yeah.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, well, now it doesn't really matter. I mean, he can move up a little bit in the regular season standings. You know, he can move from, I guess, from 10th to 9th right now until the next four get eliminated. But yeah, I don't know. Same with Ross Chastain. He bounced back from having a speeding penalty to finish in the top five. Phenomenal day. But at the same time, don't really matter because he's not running for the championship right now. I hate to be a buzzkill, but I don't know.
It is what it is. It is what it is, you know?
It's true. I think that's why I'm kind of losing interest right now at this point in the playoffs too, because it's like all these other guys, all these other storylines, and it's like, well, it doesn't really matter. We're getting to the end of the season anyways. We'll see what they come up with in Daytona. I'm already looking towards Daytona, you know? Let's see, who else? Ryan Blaney had a quiet day. He finished 6th. 7th was William Byron. He was in the mix for a top five all day long. I thought he could have possibly gotten a win, too, if the cards stacked out right. Reddick in 8th. Truex led once for 9 laps. He finished 9th. And then Denny Hamlin led once for 23 laps. He didn't have the performance I thought he would. He was my pick to win going into the weekend. Do you guys have anything else to add to the race weekend, though? I really don't have a whole lot to talk about.
I think we covered everything that really mattered. You know, I think we've done a good job of getting to all the major points.
Yeah, I mean, Larson took him to the woodshed, to be honest with you. It was the Larson and Bell show all day with a little bit of Brad Keselowski mixed in there. And then here on the Bumper Run podcast, everyone loves to talk about the winner, Kyle Larson, on a Monday or Tuesday. We also like to talk about the loser, the guy that came in last, and it was one Carson Hocevar. He had a tire issue not long after the 43, also had a tire issue. But unfortunately for Carson Hocevar, he never made it back to the pits like Jones did. He got hauled off by the wrecker. And that's it for the race weekend. We move on.
Marty, you've got to come back with me.
Where?
The next NASCAR Cup race. It's the weekend preview.
And we're heading to Homestead, Miami, South Beach, baby. And the trucks are returning. I feel like it's been 2 months since we had a truck race Saturday at noon on FS1. So you can watch the Fox team call it from the studios for the Baptist Health Care Center or Health Cancer Center 2. I can't even read anymore. The Baptist Health Cancer Care 200. Xfinity on track 3 p.m. on Saturday on USA for the Contender Boats 300. That broadcast team will be into the booth at the racetrack. And then Cup on track Sunday 2:30 on NBC for the Forever 400 presented by Mobile One, honoring Kevin Harvick. We talked about that title last week. Fellas, oh, I forgot at the top of the show, I've been missing my money gun all these weeks now. We had another Exacto. Because if you listen to our betting segment, one Eric told you to pick Kyle Larson. Of course, he won. He got you 60 points. I chose Denny Hamlin. He got me 38 points. And then Matt, you picked William Byron. He got you 36 points. So Matt, you pick first. I pick second. And then Eric picks last. And Eric, you hit our 10th exact pick for the season. So finishing off pretty strong. I need to do a little math. I want to go back and check and see how many top five guys we picked also.
It's got to be a lot.
It has to be a lot. So, guys, if you're not betting with us, you're not making money, at least for those 10 races. So, Matt, going into Homestead, who is your pick to win?
I've got a lead to protect here. And I was comfortable up until probably 4 or 5 weeks ago, and then it started shrinking on me. And I think I only have quick math, 17-point lead right now. Mm. So I've got to take this seriously. Another home run. Sorry. Not that I give a shit about baseball, but the it's game's on. Anyway, baby. Sorry. No, Phillies are up to anybody out there who could. Jay, our buddy Jay is a big baseball fan. But he's probably watching. Anyway, he's not going to lose momentum. He's not gonna take his foot off the throat of everybody else. I'm doing a safe pick here. I understand it's safe, but I also truly believe in this pick. He won this race last year at Homestead. He's got too much momentum. AJ Allmendinger is going to win this race.
All right. And since you didn't pick him, I'm going to pick Kyle Larson since I go second.
I'm taking Larson.
Yeah, oh, I figured. A little mad because I honestly wanted to pick Kyle Larson because I don't think the momentum's going away either. I think he's going to go real serious in this race. And that leaves me with the homer pick. I have to do it. I was listening to an interview with him on SiriusXM yesterday. He said his goal is to run one or two all day long, collect as many stage points, and try to win the race. That is one Tyler Reddick to get himself out of the negative position of negative 16 right now. Get him locked into that championship four, and I think he could do it. How about you, Eric?
Well, I am not in the running to win any kind of championship in our picks this year. I sucked a royal one in that, but I think there's somebody that is clutch when it comes to the playoffs that knows what to do when they need to get it done. Fell a little bit short this past weekend, and you know, I think it stung. I think it hurt him a little bit. I think he's really still to this day kicking himself and not knowing when and how to make that move at the end of the race. I'm going with the 20 of Christopher Bell.
I think it's a good pick too. I think it's a really
good pick. Well, I'll be honest with you. I usually try to read the tea leaves while we're kind of doing the buildup. I thought you were going with the 11.
Oh yeah. I don't know. I read it as Bell because he's kicking himself. He was so close to get himself locked in. That post race interview broke my heart, man. Where he's like, that was my chance to race for a championship
you
right there.
Oh yeah. You felt it. Yeah. You felt it. Yep.
No, and you want to know what? Another dirt guy ripping that fence, man. I think all three of our picks are really good good chances to win. So, you know, of course, William Byron's going to win and get himself sure. locked in for sure.
For sure.
And we'll find out. We'll break it all down for you next Tuesday night after the cup race that goes down Sunday. I forgot to playoff picture. Right now, we are seven races into the playoffs. Here's your playoff picture. Chris Buescher is in eighth, minus 23. He needs a win. Ryan Blaney is in seventh, minus 17. Reddick is in sixth, minus 16. And Christopher Bell in fifth, minus two. To the good, Denny Hamlin, plus two in fourth. Martin Truex Jr. in third, plus two. William Byron, plus nine in third. And Kyle Larson locked himself in. Who will lock themselves in to the championship race this weekend? Or will Kyle Larson spoil the show once again? Will it be Christopher Bell? Will it be Tyler Reddick? Or will Kyle Larson go two in a row? We will find out this Sunday, 2:30 on NBC for the Forever 400 presented by Mobile One. And we'll break it on down for you right here on the Bumper Run Podcast next Tuesday night for Matt the Statman Riley. For Eric Daytona Ron, I'm Michael D. White saying have a good night.